Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. Marcus and Rob cover the hard court. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Look at that. Flips it over.
You don't think having a point guard that can run your offense makes a huge difference?
Rubio, the no look. Petkovic off the glass and in.
Just that little move of Ricky going into two defenders, taking on two defenders and sealing them off, and then Petkovic flashing at the right time. I mean, we're going to be probably overly gushing about Ricky's importance to the team, but it's hard not to when you've been in the desert for so long.
And you finally see an oasis. You're going to jump on it. Oh, here comes Ricky leading charge. The no look for Bennett.
There's a better play in the NBA tonight. I definitely want to see what it is.
I love it. Rubio gives a little wink to the crowd as he goes back to the huddle during the timeout.
Audio courtesy of FSN. Ricky Rubio.
Rubio.
Obviously, I'm pretty excited because of the two wins in a row. We're going to talk about the Wolves later. The Wolves are the topic of our poll question today, which is with 31 games remaining, how many more will the Wolves, who are currently at 10-40, win? How many more games will the Wolves win? You can tweet your answer to the poll question. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done. We'll hook up a random winner. I guess we'll probably have to come to a consensus at some point, and we'll hook up a winner with four tickets to Monday night's game against Atlanta.
Whoever picks the closest to the number one pick in the draft. We need the ping pong balls.
Oh my goodness. Marcus Fuller here. I'm Hardwood Rob. We've got Ryan James in the building, as always. And a special guest, Fox Sports North analyst, four seasons in the NBA, and a Gopher from 95 to 99, Quincy Lewis in the building.
What up?
How are you, Quincy? Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, always great to be back on the mic. It's been a couple years since I've been on the radio.
So. What? Really?
Yeah.
You've been just, TV is just your jam now, so you don't even mess with the radio folks?
Well, you know, it's hard. You know, situations change. I'm officially at the university, so had to get out of that capacity about, you know, being a know-it-all.
So. Oh, okay. So Now you're just supplying your area of expertise to the Gophers specifically.
You know, I'm back home, so I'm a development officer. I'm out trying to raise the funds and the support for all the kids that we have, not only the basketball, hockey, and football, but, you know, we got 27 sports, and we're trying to shape Minnesota with the kids that we put out. You know, everyone loves, you know, and athletes, but so we try to do the little things and make sure that they come out and be a part of society and make a difference.
That's cool, man. As a Gopher grad, well, we're all Gopher fans in the building, but as a Gopher grad, I'm certainly appreciative of that. I think that's a pretty cool thing. And one of the topics today that we're going to get into in honor of signing week was what kind of Gopher recruiting is happening? What kind of needs do we need to fill for the Gophers? What's really
a lot of needs?
What's in the pipeline for the future? I suppose is really the topic of conversation in general. No,
and you know, when you look at this recruiting class coming up 2015, I mean they've got three guards that they're going to bring in: Jarvis Johnson, Dupree McBrayer, and Kevin Dorsey. And if you look at what they're missing, you know, next year they're going to miss Andre Hollins, DeAndre Matthew. I mean, this is a senior backcourt that, you know, a lot of expectations this year to bring them back to the NCAA tournament. You know, season's not over yet. They're 3-7 in the Big Ten. You know, these seniors want to go out right. But next year you're going to have Nate Mason as a freshman right now. He's going to be a sophomore taking over, and he's going to be a veteran, you know, in the backcourt. I mean, you got freshman Jarvis Johnson from De La Salle. I mean, he's coming back from a knee injury right now. And his team is 14-2. They're the best team in Class 3A. And, you know, I think they have a shot. You know, Jarvis has a shot to play, you know, as a freshman. But at the same time, you got another kid coming in, Kevin Dorsey. You know, he's averaging 21 points a game. You know, he goes to a school in Maryland right now. And I saw him play actually when I was in D.C. covering the Maryland game. And this kid, he plays the best on-ball defense that you'll see at the high school level. I mean, he's up on you. You know, he's one of those kids that obviously, you know, when you look at the high school game defensively, I mean, you know, you don't see too many kids that are that aggressive when it comes to defense. But, you know, Jonathan Nwanko is the kid that we don't know too much about. I mean, Ryan and I were just kind of talking off air about, you know, how good is this kid? You know, we really don't know. We don't see too many of his games. We don't really know how he's doing this year. But, you know, I heard he's doing all right. He's averaging about 14-8 a game. You know, whether those numbers are inflated a little bit, I don't know. But, you know, he's definitely a defensive and a rebounding force inside, about 6'10", 245 pounds. And losing Mo Walker and Elliott Eliason next year, they're going to need someone to come in and be physically ready to play in the Big Ten. Ryan's going to, you know, he'll tell you a little bit about more about on the next segment about the kids that are still recruiting in this class.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, recruiting wise, you know, this could be a top 20, top 30 class, you know, if they add a couple more kids. But, you know, this is his first big class, and I think he made a little splash here.
Is the style going to be similar? Are we going to look at a team? I mean, you talk about on-ball pressure. It sounds like, I mean, similar to what they're doing now where the guards are really aggressive. They're going for a lot of steals. Is that what we're thinking about in the future? I mean, what can you kind of at least describe for me what Patino ball is really going to look like? I mean, once we've got an entirely Patino lineup on the floor, what are we looking at?
Well, you know, Quincy can – he's watched all these games just like I have. And he knows that, you know, in the Big Ten, you know, you can't necessarily press, you know, every possession. I mean, you're going to need to play some half-court defense. You know, they've worked on the zone a little bit this year. They played well versus Nebraska. You know, got a win in their last game, and they were impressive in the half court set. I mean, the on ball defense is one thing, but you know they got to have inside presence. And you know, Mo Walker, Elliott Eliason brought it for him in the last game. Quincy, can you talk a little about, you know, this defense and it's just kind of the transformation of this defense that you've seen this year?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing for him is the athletic four. You know, when you look at the games and when you really break it down. It's been when they can get an athletic four to get on top of that press and really be long and trap in the backcourt. Sometimes with Joey King, he hasn't done it as much. And when he, you know, was doing an experiment, when he had the big guys coming in, you see Charles Bugs on the front. I think that's what you see. Big athletic fours get up, press the ball, run and jump, manage the game with the defense. You know, one thing that I always laugh about is that, you know, you really control people with your offense and you try to speed folks up with your defense. So a lot of times when you press, you're not necessarily pressing to steal the ball a lot of times. But what you're trying to do is run the clock off so you don't have to go against your offense. You know, one of the things that I think is funny in Big Ten ball is that most of the teams that are slow down teams, they get the ball across the half court line as fast as anybody else. When you watch Wisconsin, have a little stopwatch and see how fast they get the ball across the court. It's not necessarily because they're looking to score. It's because they want a lot of the shot clock to be able to turn the ball from side to side. So a lot of times, but Patino, big athletic fours, get up, press, play fast, really try to get you to make mistakes because you're sped up and not necessarily slowing down. That's what's going to happen.
Is Bugs going to be that guy? Is he that guy that is really going to step into that role? Because, I mean, we were talking about potential on the show last week. And I think that he's one of the guys that has the highest ceiling, like the most potential on this team.
I think Ryan's is the biggest Bugs fan here.
You know, he does have the potential, but I mean, he's just got to get the IQ. I mean, when the understanding of the game and the IQ comes, that he can't. Quincy's over here talking about that big athletic four at the point of the press. At times, he has been what they need. At times, not consistently, but at times, he's that long guy, gets all into it, his arms are going, and he gets to that first pass, and they do harass. But it's just not enough. But yes, there are small signs, and if he could turn the corner the next 2 years, that'd be huge. But it's got to be more consistent. We just haven't seen that consistency yet.
And when you talk about recruiting, I mean, they haven't really addressed that. You know, I think you look at Joey King, and next year, he's really not going to, for a second year in a row, he's really not going to have a forward that's going to, you know, press him for playing time.
And maybe both of these guys, those are kind of confidence problems that we're seeing with them. Confidence in understanding the game, confidence in, Joey King, at times looks so reticent that, you know, he might as well just sit down.
He has his limitations. You know, I mean, obviously he's not the best athlete in the world. And he's, you know, he's not really a true inside player. I mean,
but a year should really help with that, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's the point
actually,
are they going to be the guys? Can they step up and fill that role?
You know, I think Joy is who he is. You know, he's a spot up 3-point shooter, but at the same time, you know, he tries to work as much as he can, on the defensive end, getting rebounds. I think that's where he can help this team the most, is rebounding. Obviously, when he gets in position, You know, he does take charges. I mean, he does do some of the little things. And really, I mean, he tries to be a tough guy. You know, I mean, that's not his nature. But if you want to see, if you want to see a guy, you know, jump on the floor for a loose ball, if you want to see a guy kind of get inside another player, you know, an opposing player's head a little bit, you know, I mean, he tries to do that. And there's not many guys on this team, you know, especially on the interior, that have that kind of attitude. You know, you kind of wish Mo Walker had a little bit of that attitude. He's just not that type of player. You know, he affects the games in different ways. So does Elliot Eliason. You know, next year they're going to have this Nwankwo kid who's, you know, he's 245 pounds coming in as a true freshman. Once he gets on their weight program, Sean Brown is an excellent weight coach. He was a strength coach in the NBA a little bit. He was with at Kentucky with Rick Pitino. I mean, he's going to get this kid up to 250 and a beast, you know, in the Big Ten. So I'm kind of looking forward to what he can bring to the table. As far as that kind of physical inside presence. And that's what they've been missing kind of since Trevor Mbakwe.
Well, Jonathan has the body of a Hulk already. I mean, he's going to come in at 250 most likely.
Right.
He's a very thick kid who runs well and works his tail off. I mean, they're getting a guy who's got the physique, who has the work ethic, and he gets up and down. Is the skill there? I don't know. I mean, when I was out, you know, traveling in July, it wasn't a guy that I went to see, and I didn't get a chance to see him. But the video shows an active, rim-running, hard-working big, kind of like Bakari, only not as big and long, but way stronger. He'll be big enough right away. It's just he's got to learn.
And Quincy, you know, when you played, I mean, you know, guys like John Thomas, the guys that had just physically, they were just bigger and stronger than everybody else inside. I mean, how much did that affect your confidence
not
defensively, man? I mean, that, you know, when you had a guy like that on the interior.
Well, I don't know exactly. Kind of like, you know, I want to get back to yours. For you, the way he's going to play, there's never going to be one guy on the front. It's by committee,
right?
So, you know, all his bigs eventually will be able to play that point position. That's just the way he wants it. Big, long, athletic guys, 4'5", get up in front. You know, when I played, you know, we had big guys, and we did it more with physicality. But this team that he has now will do a lot more with the shot blocking. I mean, both of the kids that he has now, Bakari and the other big kid, they'll block shots. They're just not ready quite yet to play, but they'll block shots. So you'll see them starting to funnel those guys into the big guys to block shots. John Thomas wasn't necessarily a big guy. We did it when I played. We did it in some other situations where, you know, when you looked at us, you know, we had 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". That was our front line. So we did it more with strength and power, rebounding. You know, the big thing for us is that, you know, we had two great rebounding guards when I played, you know, Eric Harris and Bobby. And then even Kevin Clark, the guy that I played with. And when Joel Prisabella came, you know, he blocked shots. So I think that it just kind of depends on who's back there. You know, I really haven't thought that the physicality has been the problem with this Gopher team. You know, the biggest thing that I've seen is just, you know, they go without scoring. And that's just kind of been the biggest deal. And that's the one thing that I want to see, like, next year. And now they're getting back to it where they're scoring. You know, I always look at the scoreboard and say, hey, look, you got to score 65 points or more.
Don't you think, though, that with a tougher inside presence, that some of those easier shots are going to come? I mean, isn't that going to make baskets?
Mo Walker is, I mean, offensively, he's the best, you know, interior threat that they've had. I mean, a true post threat. You know, Trevor Mbakwe was an incredible athlete. You know, he grabbed up every rebound that he could get, but he wasn't the type, and he almost made the turn the corner his senior year, where a guy you throw the ball into and he's going to make a move and get a basket. Now, Mo Walker can do that. You know, his problem was just staying on the court, getting out of foul trouble. I mean, if you notice, I mean, you know, you look at the advanced stats they have out there now, the advanced stats show that he's one of the most productive guys in the Big Ten, you know, per 40 minutes, you know, when he's on the court, you know. So, I mean, you have to be able to if you're Mo Walker, impact the game defensively, and he's making strides to do that. I mean, the last game he had two, three steals, two blocks. You know, and for a guy his size to get, you know, three blocks in a game.
He's a big part of what they do offensively. But, and I think you want to reply to this too. I've been ignoring the time. I got to get us to a break. But why hasn't he been doing it would be my question. Where's the offense been coming from? It's not necessarily the production that we want is what we're talking about. We're going to continue the conversation just a couple of minutes next. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
One and Done on 105 The Ticket. Hardwood Rob, Marcus Fuller, Ryan James, the Gym Rat, and Quincy Lewis, our special guest. We've got a poll question out. It is, with 31 games remaining, how many more will the Timberwolves win? It's 10 and 40 is where they're sitting at right now. You can tweet us. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done. Reply, and you've got a shot at four tickets to go see the Wolves take on the best team in the NBA, the Atlanta Hawks. Quincy, I'd like to get your perspective on the poll question here. How many more can we expect the Timberwolves to pick up?
Get money. you know what? I am super bullish on the Wolves. I'm a huge Ricky Rubio fan. Have been ever since the kid's been here. I think that when it comes to basketball and basketball talent, probably go down as one of the best draft picks that they made. And when you look at him, when you really break it down, he's only played about, what, a year and a half?
Yeah.
First year he was hurt.
That's crazy. But
came
right.
off a knee.
You're right. Yeah.
You know, I fell in love with him when he came off knee surgery and came out and played as hard as he did. Some guys just shut it down for the rest of the year, but he comes out and plays hard. I think that you've seen the intangible things that he does, the energy, how hard they play, and how easy he makes the game. I have him at 18 games.
18.
I've always thought that this team, if he hadn't got hurt,
okay, yeah,
that they were going to be there in that 8, 9, 10 spot. That's what I had him for the beginning of the year.
Their 4-3 were games that he's available for the whole game.
And in the 4-3... it's probably what, 10 points?
Yeah. Even in like close games, yeah. The Wolves have ripped off something like, 10 straight 1-point games or something like that.
So just to be curious, here's the deal. This is the reason why. So I got Detroit. I got Phoenix. They'll beat Washington at home. Maybe even Chicago on the road. I just don't feel like Chicago is there. If all the guys stay healthy, Denver, you know, they always play well against Portland. When you look at, they play Phoenix, they got Sac, they got Brooklyn, they got the Knicks, they got Charlotte, they got Utah, they got the Lakers twice, they got Sacramento, you know, they got Toronto, and they got Orlando, and then Lakers at home coming. So, you know, there's all those possibilities. When you really look at it, if they stay healthy, and then you still got another guy that's coming off the bench in Shabazz that gives them some added punch because he's going to go back to the bench.
And that return is imminent. I mean, he's coming back in the next week.
So when you really looked at this team, when they were healthy, they were pretty legitimate just because you had the emergence of Gorgui Jang. I think that him in the middle, shot block and scoring ability, just gave them way more than anybody could ever imagine. Because now, if Peck doesn't play well, you put the big fella in there, he still gets you 10 and 12.
Tell me something, though. What are they playing for right now?
Well, you know what? They're playing because they're professionals. But the thing of it is that you got Wiggins that's still planning to be the rookie of the year. Zach LaVine is going to go back to a situation where they can slow down, not necessarily the progress with him, but the pressure. I mean, here's another kid that didn't start in college.
Right. Yeah,
came out and played against some of the toughest point guards in the league with the pressure of not having anything. And you know what? By his fifth game, you throw in the Laker game, you throw in some other games, everyone's looking like, wow, hey.
He's got an upside, yeah. I think. He's still got a lot, but I would like to see him get D League minutes, to be honest with you. I'd like to see
he's got enough minutes because he started, and now when they put him back into a situation where when the matchup dictates, when the game is not
we have to win.
Exactly.
When it's not on the line.
But then when he messes up, you got guys to go back and say, hey, look. Go practice harder and maybe get in fight for some more minutes. So I think the bench coming back, all the guys have to earn the minutes. all the guys will play harder, and you'll see this Wolves team. I got them between, you know, I said that they're going to win 25 to 30 games, and I'm still sticking to that.
Yeah, no coach or player is gonna tank to try to get the number one pick or try to get a top draft, but that's just not going to happen.
I don't think they need.
But I think fans, you know, are thinking, okay, you know, I love Rubio being back. You know, I love the way they're playing right now if they're healthy. But man, you know, are they going to make the playoffs? But you know what? I'm going to give it to Ryan over here because I know he wants to talk about. You know, we talk about Jahlil Okafor, who could be the number one pick, you know, in 2015, but in 2016. There's a kid named Ben Simmons who's the number one player in the country in 2016,
he's 2015 now.
2015, he's a McDonald's All-American, and Ryan says that, you know, would you rather have the recruiting class that the Gophers have right now, which is great, you know, I'm not knocking these kids, or would you rather have the number one player in the country?
We looked at this because we were going through the rankings. The Gophers are 29th right now, and right above them is LSU's. Their class is above, and I'm like, how can they be above Minnesota with one dude who's going to be there for 1 year? And the great wisdom over here to my right said that, oh, that's definitely the right move. It's all for the future. I said, that's one dude for 1 year versus four guys for 4 years. I'll take the Gopher four myself. And that's where this came from.
Yes, but you know, you're talking about the number one player in the country.
You're talking about
a kid who could be the number one pick in the draft.
For 1 year.
If Patino gets the number one kid in the nation, okay, I don't care if it's one player, you know, I take him. Wouldn't you take him? I
mean,
you talk about the attention that the Gophers would get off of getting the number one recruit in the country, a coach that's in his second year, and you know we're just talking about what ifs here, obviously.
Yeah.
but you know, if you got the number one player in the country in his second year, I mean, Patino would probably he wouldn't be here too long, would he? you're talking about a guy that would do an amazing recruiting job, but you know, we'll talk about the class that they do have.
It's a solid class. But I'm telling you, like, you can't. I mean, we've had big time top 10 dudes here in the past. I mean, Rick Rickard,
not the number one player
not
in the country,
one, but we've had high level guys. And like, what did Rick Rickard bring this program? He was gone and didn't take him to the NCAAs. Chris Humphries is here 1 year. That's the worst year of basketball in Minnesota.
We're talking about a player that's Tyus Jones caliber or even greater. So
yeah, but still,
back to the class that they do have. You know, Rick Pitino, he is recruiting for the Gophers. You know, every now and then he tries to help his son a little bit. But Richard Pitino and his staff were out recruiting a little bit this week. Who are some of the guys they're looking at to add to this 2015 class?
Well, I think we only know, you know, obviously they had like 3-4 days to travel and go wherever. And just like Gaston in the past, like Gaston came out of nowhere. And there's going to be some names that obviously they don't want all the media to know. But some of the names we do know, Malik Ellison, he's the main guy. He came in here.
Never nervous purpose.
Yeah. I just talked to him last night, and he said that he's going to – next visit's probably Cal. And there's a whole list of other teams that are looking at him. Cullen Russo, he's from Bloomington here. The Gophers saw him this week. He's 6'8", 6'9", actually a combo forward. They looked at him. They went down to New Mexico to see him.
I like the athleticism that Russo brings at 6'8". Kind of reminds me of Quincy Lewis a little bit.
I think Cullen would be better in an up
but
and down
not,
game.
Not as skilled.
No.
But I want to go back to Ellison. I mean, this is Purvis Ellison's son. Never nervous Purvis.
I'm with that.
But
I think
he's not a big man.
Legacies are great right
Rob
now.
Rob just got so excited.
Legacies.
You woke him up.
No, we'll leave Quincy out of this conversation. But we, you know, you talk about, Malik Ellison. He's 6'6". He's another guard, though, they're going to add to this class.
He's a small forward. I don't know that he's 6'6". I talked to Eric Bossy, who's a national rivals analyst. He said he's probably 6'5", maybe a tad under that.
Right.
They're looking at him, but I don't know if they're looking at guards necessarily. They're trying to get both forward spots.
Right.
And to go back, there's a thought from before. We were talking about power forward. Don't look past them maybe getting a transfer of some sort because they've always been in that transfer market.
You're talking about JUCO transfer or Division One?
Well, Division One. It's possible.
Yeah. They're looking at Marcus Marshall.
Marcus Marshall. His dad called them. Is what I believe. But like, there's
Marcus Marshall. He's a guard.
Yes, he's from St. Paul. He was averaging 19 a game before him and Missouri State parted ways. So yes, they've been looking at him, but there's a lot of teams looking at him. He'd come in here, I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe he'd come in. He'd have to sit out, and then he'd have 1 year. So I mean, do you take that? I'm not sure.
He's a local kid.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you got to take some local kid.
He can play
every now and then.
He can play, but it's a 1 year. It's a 1 year. It's a scholarship for 2 years. He'd play 1 year. But the other guy I want to make sure I point out is Jamal Gregory. They were down in Florida. I know Dan McHale saw him. Patino probably likely saw him as well since Patino's been down in Florida. He's a long, athletic guy from the West, from the Washington, D.C. area. Knows Kevin Dorsey very well. So that could be their in.
Incredible athlete, isn't he?
Yes,
amazing athlete.
Super.
I think
super long.
Look
super
up
explosive.
A YouTube video. He like jumped over like four or five of his teammates.
Yes,
dunked the ball.
That is. He would be the type of guy who would be great in their press. I mean, I don't know that he's face up half court skill type guy, but he's definitely the super explosive, high level defender is what they're talking about for him.
Right.
That's Jamal Gregory. He's in Florida right now, but he's from the Washington D.C. area.
Yeah, the Gophers. You know, they can't talk about guys that haven't signed. But you know, obviously, Jarvis Johnson is a De La Salle kid, and we'll talk a little bit more about him. But I definitely want to get into him a little bit because he's a kid that amazing athlete, and he's coming off a knee injury, so we want to hear about him a little bit coming up next.
Yeah, we've got actually a number of responses to the poll question as well, so we're gonna get into that and probably a little bit more conversation about the Wolves too. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, hardwood highlights from around the NBA last night. Really an amazing night. Too much to cover in a minute, but we'll start with the two best teams in the league facing off in Atlanta, where the Hawks beat Golden State 124-116. Klay had 29, Steph with 26. The Hawks spread it around. Seven guys with double figures. They're now the best team in the league at 42-9. Indiana snapped Cleveland's 12-game winning streak 103-99 despite a huge five-point outburst in more than 33 minutes from Kevin Love. Big three, my. Anyways, the Suns won against Utah 193. Gordon Hayward with a nasty facial on a Plumlee in the fourth quarter. It's definitely worth YouTubing. Marcus Morris had 34 and 12 for Phoenix. The game of the night was probably New Orleans at OKC with 1.2 left in the game. Westbrook tied it with 3 points at the line. And as soon as you thought it might be over, Anthony Davis hit a double clutch buzzer beater from a step or two beyond the 3-point line. It was an amazing shot. The Pelicans won 116-113. Davis had 41. Westbrook, a career-high 48 with 11 assists, 9 rebounds, and 4 steals. Larry Bird is the only other player to put up those numbers. Saving the best for last, the Timberwolves knocked off Memphis 90-89 with their first back-to-back wins of the season. Andrew Wiggins had 18. Ricky Rubio scored 8 points in the final 2 minutes to bring the Wolves back from a 7-point deficit. He ended up with 17-5-5. And that's why Ricky Rubio is my guy right this week for our segment that we call Your Boy is Killing It. We highlight a baller of the week every week. And finally, for the first time, I get to say it's Ricky. Ricky Rubio is my boy right now. I can't get over my excitement, to be honest with you. It's just the shot. I'm not going to say it's sexy. I tweeted it. I would compare it to, like, if you work at a place with a bunch of guys, and there's one girl, she's automatically going to be a little bit prettier just by default. That's what Ricky's shot is like right now. He's come back with so much confidence, and it's just...
You're convincing me right now.
It's so exciting to see. He's even got... He's breathing life into Anthony Bennett right now. And you can't discount Kevin Martin. You can't discount the health of the team. We were talking about this on air a minute ago. Baz is coming back. He thinks within 2 years the Wolves are going to be competitive. And I believe
this will be the first killing it that scored less than 20 points, right?
How about his comparison?
Willis
well,
Reed?
I got a killing it for you. My boy's killing it is D'Angelo Russell for Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is just an amazing, amazing player for a freshman. He's averaging 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists on the season. Only one player, another player in the country is averaging that. This is a freshman now we're talking about. Potential, you know, top 5 pick. Maybe the Wolves will grab him. I know a lot of people on social media have been talking about they want this kid maybe even more than they do, you know.
He's
Jahlil
exciting Okafor. Player.
I mean,
he
might go
player.
Number one overall. You never know. I mean, I got a little bit more stats here for you. 14 rebounds twice in the last 5 games. 10 assists in one of those games. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You know, 27 points.
His passing is
Iowa.
What makes him sexy.
33 points, you know, versus Northwestern.
That passing is really that's what has me captivated by his game in particular.
We saw him play here, you know, Minnesota played Ohio State, and he had 25
nasty.
Points in the first half.
Nasty.
You know, they shut him down for the rest of the game. You know, we're not gonna 18 years old. That can happen to a kid. But he's been on fire ever since then. I mean, this is a kid that's going to push Frank Kaminsky, the Wisconsin senior center, for Big Ten Player of the Year. And as a true freshman, there's never been a true freshman to win Big Ten Player of the Year. And you know, we're talking about a kid that could make history here. And I think that, you know, the Wolves, any team that's in the top, you know, 10 or so, would love to have this kid. Maybe Jahlil Okafor and this kid are the two most potential kids in this upcoming draft.
Well,
I think Ryan has a killing it.
Yeah, you got Hoosier boy.
Hey, we went pro, we went college. My high school guys. You know, I'll have a group. Last night I watched Delonte Payton from St. Paul Academy put up 30. His game has been taken to another level, just skill wise, defensively, just everything. I was very impressed with him. So Delonte Payton, St. Paul Academy, 30 spot last night.
What year is he?
He is a junior at St. Paul Academy. Yes, he's gonna be a scholarship kid. Not sure where. Very intelligent kid too. So that could be an Ivy Leaguer or something like that. Very smart kid. Also got to throw it out. Not to Sakar Anim, who got his offer from Marquette. That's just for that. They got to throw him on there. Eastview knocked off Apple Valley. They got to go to their front court. Drew Giebert going to USF and Keegan Dixon. Those two both had double doubles. Apple Valley had won 51 conference games in a row. That's done. They're crossed.
So you got a team that's killing it.
Yeah, and
that's
hey,
crazy.
That's a huge upset, man. I don't believe that. You know, Gary Trent. You know, you got Brock Bertram. I mean, that's a solid team. And Tyus Jones' brother there,
yeah, Trey,
knocked them off.
They did. It was Gary hit a basket late, but it just wasn't enough. I mean. Eastview hit 13 trays. And while I'm talking about trays, Minnetonka, the boys are killing it too. They had 19 trays on Tuesday to beat Armstrong. 19. I'm a little biased there, but I just thought about Seth Cota, 7 threes.
Now, you know, Quincy, you know, I didn't tell you about this killing it.
Seth. Yeah, have you been watching anybody in particular?
We'll have a gopher that you can name that you think has been playing the best right now.
You know, I would throw a shout out to number, I can't remember what his number is, but Andre Hollins. I think that. He's been, you know, when you talk about the epitome of what sports is that sometimes when things are not going your way, you don't want to smile. You don't want to be personable. You don't, you know, you kind of want to feel bad for yourself. But here's a kid that going into his senior year had the opportunity to really become the Gophers' all-time scorer. Eclipsed 2,000 points with his career.
He just passed you recently, didn't he?
He did, but, you know, I just love the fact that, you know, this part of the year, he's really battled a lot of stuff, but the kid continues to smile. He continues to be an adamant role model, the epitome of what, you know, we hope Gophers are and what student athletes are. And now he's starting to reap some of that success and all that hard work and really putting together back-to-back games. And, you know, and for me, I always want a kid to have a better experience than I did in college. And I was feeling so for this kid because, you know, as your senior year, you want to go out and have a good year. And I think that, you know, this stretch right here has talked a lot about who he is as a person, who he is as a basketball player, because a lot of times, you know, folks quit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, when you're a basketball player, when you're a college player, you know, folks write about. But I know a lot of folks that, you know, aren't players that quit on you just as much as
without
some.
A doubt.
But that's my guy because, you know, he's still smiling. He's still out there playing hard. And I got to just send him out a big shout because, you know, and I'm so proud of him. I just hope he continues to have and be able to finish out that senior year in a way. Yeah, him and Mo.
These numbers he's putting up last five games, 21.8 per game. 5 boards. He's a great rebounding guard.
Yeah.
Shooting 56% from the field, 58% from the arc. That's in the last five games. And to piggyback off what Q said, he's a great student athlete in all ways. And it would be great if he could be celebrated for that a little bit more because he really is a great young man.
And this is a kid that, you know, they have the Twitter ban right now that's still going on for the team. But Instagram, where they're still allowed to use Instagram and Facebook, like you know, that. More friends and family on Facebook and
gotta
Instagram.
Got to stay on LinkedIn.
Marcus was hoping they were still using MySpace, but, you know.
What's MySpace? Oh, man.
I like that he played with some competitive. He used to get to, like, competitive fire. Like, it really made him play with an edge.
But, you know, Ryan was talking.
That's what I want to see you turn that negative or that perceived negativity into a positive. That's why you play.
Ryan was talking about, you know, and I love that what you said about that, Rob. But, you know, Ryan was talking about the student-athlete part of it. And, you know, he posted his degree. He got his degree on Instagram, you know, and, you know, that's I think cool. The a kid that, you know, he's going to the business school, you know, he went on a trip to Italy with Elliot Lyson, you know, a couple summers ago and came back and still tried out for Team USA for the World University Games. I mean, he's doing it all. And, you know, I'm glad Quincy brought him up because he definitely deserves to be mentioned for that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty. I think that's a pretty exciting thing when you, like you said, you get to see not somebody who's just going to go out there and play basketball the right way, but to be a student athlete and to put the athlete part second. You know what I mean? That's a pretty cool thing. I couldn't do that. I mean, you know, I could have probably redshirted as a 5'9 freshman, but I.
You're 5'9? Wow.
This is like 5'9 and three quarters. I go hard in the paint. That's all you need to know is I go hard in the paint.
You get 5'11 today. You might even get 6 feet with today's roster.
Hey, look, I'm standing up a little bit taller today just because of my Timberwolves. If at the very least, I'm excited for my Timberwolves. Actually, we've got a number of responses to the poll question. Let's see. Jeff Wood, 28. At Jeff Wood, 28, saying 11. A lot of folks saying 11. At Hoffman Zach with 11. A couple of folks with 12. I think 15 might be the highest from our listeners. That's coming courtesy of at bhagen4904. 15 games, he would say, now that Ricky's back. I think Ricky's kind of the perceived the difference maker. Whoa, actually, another one. Jeff Campbell at All We Know Is Eat. 9 more for a total of 19 games.
See, there's a guy that I like. They want D'Angelo Russell or Jahlil Okafor.
Well, I don't think they're going to have to give up games to go after these guys. That's what we were talking about on the air. So you think that there's...
It's not football. It's not a slider. Wherever you finish, I mean, just go see where the lottery is and where, you know, the first, you know, number one draft picks have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You need to either have a guy, a little kid with a bow tie, or you need a, you know... or you need an old all-star, or you need a young lady, you know, wearing some type of, you know, special color or something, you know. So
they need to put Maya Moore up in there.
You know, it's not about the wins and the losses. It's just about, hey, what seat you picked or whatever. But, you know, I just think that the Wolves wasn't that bad of a team, and I just think that that the basketball gods and the way that things shake out, you know.
And playing games together and winning together, I think that has so much more value.
But if this is the core, I mean, if you're going to shake this up a little bit, I mean, you're going to get rid of Peck. You know, I mean, what are you going to do with this core that they're? If you want to build something at the end of this year, how are you going to shake that up?
But the core is there. I mean, the thing of it is, you know, when you look at it, so when you think about who would you get rid of, I mean, you probably trade Mo. And see if you can get some value for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look maybe Thad. But, I mean, when you look at it, you got Ricky, you got Levine, you got Wiggins, and you can play Thad and Peck. That's not a bad starting lineup. I mean, those kids. I mean, you're starting 6'5", 6'7", 6'8", 6'11", 6'9", 6'11", with all
athletic.
And then when you look at the bench, okay, yeah, maybe you need to go and find a legit point guard. But Zach can be your point guard. He can be your swing guy. So the question of it is that when you look in this draft, what do they really need? Maybe another athletic four, maybe another spot shooter. But, you know, even with Kevin Martin, I mean, even if Kevin Martin goes to the bench and comes off, he becomes valuable off the bench. I just don't think there's a lot that's needed. I think Flip's the right guy. He knows how to, you know, bring along young guys. And if Wiggins was struggling and not emerging to be a star, then I would say, okay, we're in trouble. But I think that kid, you can build around him. And I think Zach has shown enough at 19. And then you think about most of the guys, even OKC, it was what, four years at the most? Before Durant and Westbrook grew together,
Harden had probably 2 years under his belt.
You're saying that the two key guys you're building around are Rubio and Wiggins, right?
And then you got Zach, and then you got Gorgie. I mean, you got four guys,
but the two elite guys that are potential all stars, you know, for the next what, 5, 6, 7, 10 years.
So you got
you're talking about Wiggins and Rubio.
And Rubio, and you know what? I think that you have to kind of put Zach into that thing, you know, as the West gets older. And that's the one thing that no one looks at is like, yep, the West is going to get older. Kobe right. Bryant in his years are getting up there in age. You know, when you really think about the West and what is really there, you got the Splash Brothers, and then after that you got
San Antonio's and Memphis's. I mean,
older.
It's older.
But yeah. Memphis,
OKC, you can't discount. OKC is a largely
but
a young squad.
But there's a legitimate chance that Durant goes home.
There's a legitimate chance.
Just throwing it out there.
Think of the balance that would bring to the league, too.
There's a legitimate chance that Westbrook will go back to
Could
California.
Could you imagine that?
Yes. It's the greatest part about the NBA. It's what makes it different from the NFL.
Or Durant playing in Washington with Wall and
Beal. We're getting off topic here.
Let me get back
to the Wolves now. What the Wolves' identity? What is their identity?
Identity is this young guys that's going to play hard. That is going to be legitimately next year, probably 7th, 8th, or 9th team, or 10th next year, legitimate wise, depending on who they get in the draft.
Okay. The game of basketball, the game of basketball, the game of basketball, the game of basketball.
That's the sign that we really have to, we've overlooked the commercial for a minute. So we're going to take us into break, and we're going to come back on One and Done with our Gopher preview.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, we've got some games to watch this week. You can actually hear Kentucky at Florida tonight at 7:45 on 105 The Ticket. We've also got Maryland at Iowa tomorrow at 2, and high school basketball on The Ticket this week. It's North at Armstrong Monday at 7, and Apple Valley at Shakopee Friday night after Radioactive Sports with Ben Holson and the superstar Mike Morris. You can visit those guys when they broadcast live at Hubert's for Wolves Wednesday before Minnesota hosts the Golden State Warriors at Target Center. The Atlanta Hawks are in town Monday night. We've got 4 tickets to that, and we'll select someone here at random shortly to send to the game. If you participate in our poll question, how many games will the Wolves win the rest of the season? Tweet us at oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done if you're looking for us on Twitter. Finally, the Gophers are at Iowa on Thursday. But first, after a week off, they're back in the barn to get even against Purdue today at 2 on the Big Ten Network, which leads us to our game preview. It's back in the barn after a week off. You look like you've got something else you want to say from the last segment. Even
I'm gonna keep it to what we had there.
Okay.
Talk about the Gophers now, because they've had enough days off. They don't need another break here. But you look at the Gophers, and I think confidence wise, you know, you would like them to have another game, you know, in between the Nebraska and this Purdue game, just so they can, you know, they were playing such, I think, a high level defensively. They were using the zone a little bit more than, you know, I would like. I mean, this is a team that I think defensively in the press, they've been averaging, I think, 16 turnovers forced a game, you know, in the last 5 games, and they've won 3 out of the last 5 games. So there's something to the playing that Patino style, you know, getting teams to speed up a little bit and using their, I think, the Andre Hollins and DeAndre Matthew. I think Quincy was talking a little bit about Andre's defense. I think this year, I mean, he's made some money for himself. I mean, it's just an amazing improvement that he's made. And you wonder why he couldn't have done that in Tubby's defensive scheme. I mean, I don't think Tubby was so worried about trying to make him the point guard of the future and so worried about him trying to fit that role that, you know, defensively, I mean, it wasn't on Andre's mind. And now, I mean, DeAndre Matthew, to me, last year he was so aggressive trying to get to the basket. So, you know, that was his role, was trying to, you know, create and score for this team. And now he's kind of changed his mold a little bit. Andre's become more of that go-to guy offensively, you know, on the perimeter. I think he's got a little help from Joey King, Carlos Morris. And now DeAndre's kind of focusing on defense a little more as well. And I know Ryan, you know, at times a little critical of DeAndre's defense, but I think that he's improving. And, you know, Mo Walker, you know, in the zone, he does what they need him to do. You talk about not protecting the backside, but, I mean, you can get a little lazy with the zone, but the guards, they put so much pressure on the perimeter, and they're poking balls out, and Mo's getting them and leading the fast break. And, I mean, this team right now, defensively, is where they're going to turn the corner, and they have a chance here today versus Purdue.
Oh, this team has to play more zone just because of the way the make of the lineup, when the guys they've lost, they have to. And zone is better for Mo. We did have the discussion, backside protection, you know, stepping in the penetration. With the zone, with Mo, he has been better with that. With the man, it was at times ugly. That's why at times I liked Elliott better for that. But the way they're playing zone defensively now, it's improved. It's, you know, Mo's been okay in it.
And you look at the way that
he's also rebounding better too,
yeah,
which
exactly.
is big.
Well, that's huge. I mean, this is a team that was one of the worst teams in the Big Ten in defensive rebounds, and, you know, I mean, in Mo, it was probably at the height of that. I mean, you know, he was averaging about 8 rebounds a game in the Big Ten, but more than half of those rebounds were offensive rebounds. You know, with his misses, and not only is Andre, you know, just defending the ball, but rebounding. I mean, he's averaging 5 rebounds a game, as Ryan said, in the last 5 games. He had an 11 rebound game in there. And this is a guy that's 6'2", and coming off the last game, I mean, he was banged up. He had an IT band injury, which is kind of a lower leg injury. And, you know, Patino coming into the game, he was scared. He didn't know how effective Andre was going to be. So I think this week off kind of helped the team get healthy a little bit. Purdue's a very physical team. I mean, they have 2 7-footers that are going to play in the league. A.J. Hammonds and Isaac Haas, a freshman, 7'2", 297 pounds.
He's so scary. I mean, just the look of him, like he just looks like one of the Monstars. Like he's just ready to rebound and tear
Space
you apart.
Jam. You know what? Yeah, I just showed my son Space Jam for the first time this week.
Oh, man. That song?
Yeah.
Oh, the theme song.
Anyways.
No. The other one. It would take too much searching to find it.
Pump up the jam. You talking about?
No, Quincy.
I'll bring you in here. Have you played? I mean, you played in the league. You ever played against a guy 7'2"? I mean, this is size matters, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you talk about a guy that's only a freshman that's 7'2", 300 pounds for Purdue. I mean, what kind of potential do you think a guy like him has?
I played against a guy called Shaq. Is he big enough?
7'3", 350, whatever. Yeah, he's plenty big.
Experts.
You played with Ostertag too, didn't you?
Yeah, I played with him.
He's not a small guy.
Was Shaq 7'2"?
Oh, Shaq's 7'3".
Hey, come on, see, experts. That's all I got to say.
You played with some big guys. You played with some really, like, really big guys, though.
I did. Fred Weiss. You remember Fred Weiss, the guy that
Vince Carter jumped on, right?
Yeah, I played with him, too, 7'3", so.
How does he serve? Okay, you brought that up. Was that before or after that you played with him? Was that before
after.
The dunk? It was after the dunk.
Yeah.
So was he, like, a sad person?
Nah.
No? Was that kind of like a badge of honor for him? Did he wear that around? Like, I'm the guy.
He didn't like that.
He didn't. Really? So he was a competitor. He at least. Where did you play with him at? Was that
over in Europe? Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah. You know, the here's the thing with the big guys. You have two of them. You have the ones that are like big and nasty, and you don't go around them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have some that just block all shots. But most of the time, the problem that they present is that either if they're rooted and not really shot blockers and they're just space eaters. Or if they block shots, they really force you to play different because the shots that you normally would make, you can't have them. They take opportunities. They really erase defensive mistakes at the basket, especially big shot blockers. And all the shot blockers that I've known, you know, it's one thing where don't follow them, just send them into the big guys, and they just turn shots away. They force mm-hmm. bad shots, and that's the biggest thing in with the shot blockers. But Purdue legitimately is one point guard away from possibly winning the Big Ten this year. They are kind of getting back to the real nitty gritty Purdue Gene Katie. Very, very physical and really come out and intimidate you and make you play like they want to play. I was really impressed when they went in and beat Indiana by 25 in there. And they made Indiana play like they were playing Purdue and not like Indiana. And I really thought that Indiana was going to have the opportunity to speed them up, shoot threes, run around, do some stuff. But Purdue came out and they played hard. They played physical, and they made some shots, and they were intimidating. So it's going to be a really great game. I'm really pumped and really excited because this is some of the Big Ten that I remember. This is going to be yep. a big, nasty, physical game. So the Gophers don't come out and play well, and we're going to have a great crowd because this Purdue team by far is the most underrated team in the Big Ten.
They're so balanced. They got 6 guys averaging between 9 and 11 points a game. And Rafael Davis, love Rafael Davis on both ends. I mean, that dude defends like a monster. We told that monster was, hey, I hate him high, hate him high.
Oh, gosh.
Hate him low. That's the song.
But that last game, I mean, you know, they played at Purdue, Big Ten opener, New Year's Eve. 72-68, Purdue won that game. But the Gophers were up, you know, double digits in the second half, late in the second half there.
Yeah, they were right in it.
Mo Walker had a pretty good game, but you know, if you look at the down the stretch, I mean that was a game that kind of you know, set the tone for what was going to happen in this first half of the Big Ten season. You know, 3-7, but 6 of the games have been lost, you know, by single digits, 2 possession games, and you know, I mean, you look at the way that they that slipped away, you kind of figured, hey, you know, this is just one headache. Start off the Big Ten, it wasn't going to happen again, and it happened 5 more times. But I think, you know, this is a team that confidence-wise, if you look at DeAndre Matthews, if you look at Andre Hollins, Mo Walker, they're starting to realize that, hey, this is it. This is the last stretch of the Big Ten season. They're playing at home, like Quincy said. You know, they'll probably have a pretty good crowd there. Hopefully get them fired up and start off the game strong. But finishing the game is where they have to definitely turn the corner.
You got a final prediction? Win or loss? Win or loss?
They're going to win. I think they're going to win. I mean, they're playing Purdue. They had a chance to win at Purdue, and I think they're going to win this one.
Ryan, win or loss?
Winning 65-62.
Quincy, win or loss on these Gophers? You think they got it today?
Win or loss? It's a win.
I'm not even asking you.
We don't lose at home.
Quincy, I appreciate you joining us today. Thanks for participating in our poll question. I'm going to tweet at somebody with the tickets for Atlanta's game tomorrow. It's one and done on 105 The Ticket. We'll be back at 10 next week.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WGBX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie. Three signals strong. Passionate sports talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. A Cumulus station.